This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Good morning. After next Tuesday, we may have a clearer picture of what Michigan's energy future will look like. Michigan voters are charged with deciding a measure that would require electric utilities to generate 25% energy from renewable resources by the year 2025. Proposal 3 is, in fact, better known as the 25 by 25 proposal. Both opponents and proponents have spent millions upon millions of dollars to try and influence voters heading to the ballot boxes on Tuesday. Each campaign accuses the other of providing inaccurate information and misleading voters. Today, we're going to try and sort some of that out for you. Proposal 3 is the focus of this month's First Friday Focus on the Environment, a regular series we put forth on the first Friday of each month. My co-host for this segment is typically Lisa Wozniak. She works with WEMU on a nonpartisan basis, but Lisa is also the executive director of the League of Conservation Voters, and that is an organization that stands publicly in support of Proposal 3. So Lisa will not be joining us today. Still, we do have guests from each side of the Proposal 3 issue. First, I'd like to welcome Steve Transith. Steve is spokesperson for the Clean, Affordable, Renewable Energy, or CARE Coalition of Michigan. This is the group organizing opposition to Proposal 3. Steve spent 21 years as assistant director and legal counsel for the nonpartisan Michigan Legislative Service Bureau. Additionally, Mr. Transith served 2 years on the Michigan Public Service Commission as appointed by Governor Jennifer Granholm. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, David. Great to be here.
And on the other side of the aisle, so to speak, in support of Proposal 3, we have Doug Jester. Doug is currently a principal at Five Lakes Energy, which is a strategy and policy consulting firm offering services to the public and private sector. Prior to his work with Five Lakes Energy, Mr. Jester served as senior policy advisor to the director of the State Department of Energy, Labor, and Economic Growth. Doug, good morning and welcome to WEMU.
Good morning. My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's start here. Proposal 3 is one of 5 proposed constitutional amendments on the ballot. Changing the Constitution, I think we can all agree, is no small matter. Steve Transith, why does the CARE Coalition so ardently oppose defining energy policy with an amendment?
Well, David, it is probably somewhat of the essence of which CARE came together. I think it's very important to understand that we do support the development of renewable energy, clean environment, removing ourselves from our dependency on fossil fuel. This is a question about process and how we're going to go about achieving those goals. We believe that Prop 3 is going to actually hurt us in the long run. It's going to be costly, and it's going to hurt our reliability. The reason for that primarily is they're taking these provisions and they're putting it into the Constitution. They're taking a 277-word document, and they are saying that that is going to set our policies going forth for the next several decades. This has been universally opposed by anyone who has looked at this issue in terms of going to the Constitution from newspapers. Over 30 newspapers, editorials have looked at this, reviewed both sides, researched this, have come out against this proposal. You have individuals like Frank Kelly and Bill Schuette who have come out against this proposal for the main reason of it amends the Constitution.
Former President Clinton among those who has come out in support of it, and there are certainly other editorials and newspapers that have written their opinions in favor of it. Doug Jester, the proposal, as mentioned, 277 words. Why does the Michigan Energy Michigan Jobs Group support defining complex energy policy with such a simple ballot proposal that would change the Constitution perhaps forever?
Michigan has a long tradition of giving direction to its government, particularly its legislature, through citizen initiatives, many of which have been amendments to Michigan's Constitution. Under Michigan's structure of government, all political power ultimately resides with the people, and we reserve the right to redirect the legislature by referendum when they pass a law we don't like, or to initiate law or a constitutional amendment by petition. And we've done that many times on many subjects. Most of those could have been done by the legislature through statute, but they didn't for some reason, and so we, the people, expressed our will through this process. Now, why specifically did we go to the Constitution for renewable energy? We think it's crucially important that we move ahead with all deliberate speed, and we don't see the prospect of that happening through the normal legislative process anytime soon because of the intense opposition of Michigan's utilities to doing so. Despite their claim that they are for affordable renewable energy, all of their activity to this point has been to oppose it.
Moving beyond the constitutional question, let's start to get into some of the other issues. Let's discuss public health first. Mr. Jester, in supporting the 25 by 25 proposal, your group has gone to great pains to define it as one of the most important public health issues of our time. How so?
Well, indeed, that is a statement made by the Michigan Nurses Association, which was the first endorsing organization for this proposal. The effect of this proposal would really be to displace the use of coal for generating electricity, which is now 60% of Michigan's electrical generation, with new, cleaner, and renewable sources. Coal has a number of well-established adverse effects on public health. Mercury pollution from coal is a neurotoxin, particularly affects developing fetuses and young children. The air pollution contaminants that are emitted by coal plants cause large amounts of asthma, cardiopulmonary disease, and as a result, we have 180 or so premature deaths per year, 800,000 asthma attacks per year attributable to coal plants.
Let me ask you this. One of the four primary components of new and clean energy, along with solar, wind, and hydro, is biomass, which is more polluting than coal, poses as much or more health risk, and it appears the amount of new biomass energy in the clean energy proposal would remain undefined. So how is it that this is going to be a better health issue?
Your claim about biomass is based on a misunderstanding. There's a resource, biomass, and then there's a technology for using biomass to produce electricity. If you take biomass and combust it, like coal, you would be correct. But that's not what most of us think should happen, and it's not the normal practice under the current renewable energy standard. Rather, it's conversion of biomass through anaerobic digestion, use of landfill gas, other gasification technologies that is the right way to use biomass to produce electricity, and that is significantly less polluting than coal.
And Steve Transith, the CARE Coalition, contends that many of the assertions made by the other side are overblown. How so in the public health realm?
Well, they're not overblown, and that's the whole point. What they're doing is they're making the assumption of, that there's a validity to that this proposal is going to get us. We are moving towards this end. We're moving towards a cleaner environment. Our air environment right now is the cleanest it's been in generations. The EPA is coming in with standards that's going to make coal cleaner. We have to be practical as we going forward. This is not a question about health. We're moving towards that end. The question, and I have to keep getting your listeners to come back to, does this proposal move us closer to that? And that's our problem. It is not going to get it. You know, Doug was pointing out one of the very big problems we have. This is a very vague language. He just made all these kind of assertions about biomass. Tell me where that is in the proposal. We don't know what those are going to come down when we finally get to the point where this gets implemented and how and what is going to be included in that. This is very different. No other state in the union, including Amendment Happy California, has amended their constitution in this manner, and there's good reason for that.
Is there a reason why Michigan wouldn't want to be the first and be a trailblazer?
Absolutely, because it is going to handcuff us. It's going to limit our options going forward and what we want to do. And that's why these other states have looked at it. You know, three other states who had trouble with their legislature, as Doug was claimed, went with the ballot proposal, but they didn't do it through the Constitution. They did it through initiated law, and that's the way they should have done it in this way.
And your brief rebuttal, Doug Jester?
Well, Mr. Chancellor just claimed that the problem of health could be addressed through EPA regulations. The same utilities that he represents in this campaign are also vigorously opposing those regulations. So we sought a positive direction to do this with clean renewable energy rather than saying, don't do that.
You are listening to WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment, and I'm David Fair. Today we're discussing the 25 by 25 renewable energy measure, which will appear as Proposal 3 on your ballot next Tuesday. Here in opposition to the measure is Steve Transith of the CARE Coalition for Michigan, and here to urge voter support for Proposal 3 is Doug Jester of Five Lakes Energy and Michigan Energy, Michigan Jobs. Now, a lot of people vote with their pocketbooks. I think we can all agree on that. Steve Transith, your group contends it's going to cost ratepayers about $12 billion in order for the utilities to meet a 25 by 25 standard of renewable energy. How did you come to that figure?
Well, the figure is a very simple figure. By the way, the sides aren't all that apart about how much this is going to come. They say it's 10.3. We say it's $12 billion. And our figures basically took what needs to get to the 25% figure. We took the number of wind turbines that we're going to take to accomplish that. We took the cost of the wind turbines, added in cost for transmission and other indirect costs that would be related to that, and that came to $12 billion.
But by saying it's going to cost $12 billion, you're saying, A, it can be done, and the price isn't all that different from what the other side is proposing.
That's correct, but that doesn't mean that you can get there. You can't get there with their funding mechanism of the 1%. It's going to cost the ratepayer a lot more money to get to that, whether you're talking about $10 billion or $12
billion. I'm sorry, but this is the big misrepresentation by the other side. It's true that meeting this requirement will require an investment on the order of $10 or $12 billion in renewable energy generation. What they're ignoring is we're going to pay for the electricity we use anyway. And if we don't do it this way, we're going to pay about that much generating it from coal. It, over a 25-year period, which is what we can expect these investments in wind farms or equivalent technologies to last, it's going to take about $17 billion worth of coal to produce the same electricity. So in the end, this will be roughly break even and in the long run actually save us as ratepayers as compared to continuing on business as usual.
David, that's once again, that's the misconception on their side. They're treating this at somewhat like this as some kind of Lego set where we can pull out one thing of coal and put in one thing. It doesn't work that way. Wind is an intermittent source. It only blows about 40%. Even if you want to say 50%, I'll give them 50%. That means the other 50%, you got to back that up. And that means when we come off of coal, this proposal talks about sales, not production. And when you're talking about sales versus production, you're going to have to back up that wind. So you're not going to be able to move away from coal quite as quickly as they think and they're claiming that you're going to be.
Well, right now, 60% of Michigan's electricity does come from coal, but most of it's imported from other states. And according to the supporters of Proposal 3, that cost consumers roughly $1.7 billion this year alone. That's not a sustainable future, is it?
And that's why I started this whole proposal. Are we talking about clean energy? Yes, we're talking about moving towards it. Are we talking about removing some of our dependency on fossil fuel? Yes, we are. But having to make good decisions about how we're going to do that going forward. And this, we need to be very practical. And we cannot lose sight of the fact that we have to keep our electricity reliable and have to keep it affordable.
Detroit Edison is already going to the Public Service Commission for higher rates. They have permits pending for at least two new coal-fired power plants and a new Fermi 3 nuclear power plant, which would all be subsidized by ratepayers. How is that less expensive?
They do not, as far as I know, there are no coal facilities on the books by anybody. There's no new coal being developed or built or proposed by anyone. And the nuclear facility is still on the book, but you have to, that is decades in the planning, and you have to keep that option available. That also doesn't look like that's going to be anywhere near future in terms of being constructed. However, you do have several coal plants in Michigan, seven in the consumers area, two in the Edison area, which are probably going to be mothballed or closed in the near future. How we replace those has not yet to be determined. And once again, that's what we're talking about. Let's make sure our options are available on how we're going to go forward with those.
And perhaps, Doug Jester, you can tackle the topic of wind. It is intermittent, and how can we depend that we'll have enough wind resources to cover the 25 by 25 standard?
Well, wind is intermittent, so is solar, and that has to be allowed for in the planning. But the requirement isn't that we get 25% of our energy from renewable sources at any moment in time. It's over a year. So there will be times when we'll get significantly more than that and times when we get less. And our cost estimates explicitly include the costs of backup power and transmission required to balance the load with generation with that presence of 25% energy coming from renewables. The utilities today deal with varying load. We all use different amounts of power at different times of the day. It changes moment to moment. They have a set of practices, including using what are called peaking plants, to balance generation with load. And there's nothing about getting to 25% that they can't handle with the current practices. To prove the point, Iowa today is operating at 27% renewable energy in 2012. And their reliability is as good as or better than what we have in Michigan, and their rates are lower.
How much of that comes from wind?
25% from wind, 2% from biomass.
And David, that's very important. When you're talking about Iowa and being at 23, 27, you're talking about around 105 megawatts. Michigan's already at 1,000. And if this proposal goes through, you're talking about going to 7,000. You're talking about, by the time you get done, 5,000 wind turbines spread out throughout the state in some form or another. We need to be very careful because we do believe that local control is going to be a huge issue. We also think this is going to be a huge issue in terms of wind on the water. We think our Great Lakes are going to be threatened by these turbines.
And a brief rebuttal before we move on?
That claim is just unsupported by the facts. We only need 6% of Michigan's wind capacity to meet this requirement, and that's the on-land capacity. There's no need to go onto the Great Lakes, and in fact, I don't think that it will happen because it's significantly more costly than on-land generation. Given that much opportunity, we don't need to impose this on places where it's not wanted. And there's significant economic benefit to local communities. Those who want to have that opportunity would benefit from it. We don't have to force it on them.
And that's exactly why we're saying that this shouldn't go into the Constitution. You can't do those kind of guarantees Doug was just talking about with 277 words. If it was legislatively, we would be able to make sure that those kind of protections were in place.
Well, let's talk about the other component of this measure. The Michigan Energy Michigan Jobs Coalition, supporting Proposal 3, says if passed, the measure will create 94,000 new jobs. Over the next 12 years, Doug, that amounts to about 7,000 a year. With a $10 billion price tag on the proposal, how does that ultimately become an economic positive?
The major way that Michigan's economy benefits from this proposal is that we substitute construction, manufacturing, which are things that we do well in Michigan, for importing fuel. And you mentioned earlier that we import $1.7 billion worth of coal every year. It's like burning that much money to produce electricity. Replacing about a quarter of that import cost with things that we build and do here in Michigan will generate jobs and income here in Michigan.
And Steve Transith, opponents contend the figure is more like 74,000, but not 74,000 new and permanent jobs, but 74,000 job hours, which is entirely different. So how do you view this?
Well, I want to make sure that claim comes from their people. That's what their experts said. In fact, when they released their report, they cautioned at the news conference reporters and the voters not to confuse how they came up with their job numbers. And when they talk about, even President Clinton didn't get it right, and it shows you how it's a misconception going out there in terms of the voters. This is not 94,000. This is their equivalent would be if someone got a job working for a wind turbine and worked for 20 years, to them that's 20 jobs. For most people, that's one job. And when you extrapolate that down to like real jobs, when you're talking about someone getting a job and going to work every day and working year in and all that, you're talking about a 4,000 or 5,000 jobs, and those would be more than offset by the jobs that would be lost in other energy sectors. As I've said all along when I've thrown out the state, you may vote for this because you feel passionately about renewable energy, but do not vote for this because you think this is going to create some kind of economic growth or job. This is not going to happen.
But do you want to respond to that? I saw the twinkle in your eye.
Very briefly, his claim that we'll lose comparable numbers of jobs in other energy sectors doesn't make sense when all of those jobs for fossil fuels are outside of Michigan, not here. And on the question of jobs versus job years, the language of politics about jobs is always a little confusing. Job is not a well-defined thing. Construction workers often think they have multiple jobs a year as they move from project to project. One of his clients, DTE, recently claimed that building a gas pipeline in Pennsylvania and Ohio was going to produce 10,000 jobs here in Michigan. And when you look at what's underneath that claim, first of all, they're not mostly in Michigan. And secondly, they were counting jobs the same way that we do.
Steve Transith, our time is starting to run short, but I want you to do this for us. If you get your way and this measure goes down to defeat, what will our energy look like in 2025?
Well, I think we're going to continue to move forward in the clean energy environment. It won't look necessarily like all wind. We're going to embrace. The goal should be, what is it that we want to do to decrease harmful emissions into the environment, and then do like what Ohio did with their 25 by 25, embrace any technology that gets us to that end. I think we're going to have a integrated portfolio of resources available to us. We're going to move towards renewable energy. We're going to move towards a cleaner environment. We don't have any choice about that. We all have to be committed towards that end. So I think we're going to have a cleaner environment. We're going to have a broad base portfolio of generation sources that are all going to go to reducing our harmful emissions. And by the way, many of those may be a bright mind here at Eastern Michigan University who's going to come up with the next great thing about energy that we haven't even thought of, this emerging technology that may or may not necessarily fit into the definition of renewable, but it definitely is going to fit into the definition of a clean technology that's going to decrease harmful emissions.
And Doug Jester, how do you see our energy future 2025 if the measure fails?
Well, if this measure fails and Michigan's utilities continue to maintain their effective monopoly on generation of electricity here in Michigan, we're going to look pretty much like we look now. DTE has already indicated their intent is to double down, invest in rehabilitating and adding pollution controls to their old coal plants and continue with the kind of portfolio they have. I do want to say I think consumers is going to shift away from coal and toward natural gas a bit, but it won't look a lot different than it does now unless we tell the utilities where we want them to go.
Let's spend our remaining moments this way. I would like each of you to take a minute or two and explain and make your last pitch to voters as to why they should vote the way you would like them to when they go to the ballot box on Tuesday. Steve Transith, why don't we start with you?
Well, I'm going to go back to my original point and how you started out with this proposal. However you feel about renewables, I think you need to be very, very cautious about limiting our options going forward about what we're going to do with our energy. As I articulated where I think we're going to be in 25, the only way we're going to get there, the only way we're going to be able to really meet our needs is to make sure that we have all our options available. Just think about where we were even 5 years ago and how this has changed. And the utilities are committed towards moving forward. And I believe that that is something that the legislature is not going to stand for. And I don't think the people are going to stand for that. And they'll elect the people that need to be in the legislature who are going to move this thing forward. And I think when they go into that ballot box, they better be very careful and make sure that they don't want to handcuff themselves to win for the next 20 to 30 years.
And Doug Jester, why should people vote in favor of Proposal 3 and the 25 by 25 renewable energy standard?
Proposal 3 moves Michigan along on a steady process of adopting renewable energy instead of continuing to use fossil fuels with all of their attendant adverse effects on Michigan's health and economy. If we don't adopt Proposal 3, that's really a vote for the utilities and their lobbyists to continue to control energy policy in this state, and we'll continue to do what they want to do rather than what we, the people, want to do.
I would like to thank both of you for taking time out, coming into the studios, and participating in today's conversation. I think our listeners are more informed as a result. Thank you both.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
That is Steve Transith, who is spokesperson for the Clean, Affordable, Renewable Energy, or CARE Coalition for Michigan, which opposes Proposal 3. We'd also like to thank Doug Jester from Five Lakes Energy, representing Michigan Energy, Michigan Job, in support of Proposal 3. I'm David Fair, and voters will decide the 25 by 25 renewable energy standard measure next Tuesday. You'll hear the results and reaction right here on 89.1 WEMU.